moment you've all been waiting for.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as is a common theme with the Threads of Time podcast, I am going to start it off with an apology for my hiatus, because I've been busy, bitches. I can't be catering to you all the time, but I'm catering to you this week, because this week is something very, very special. It is a special week-long mini-series edition of the Threads of Time podcast, where we are going to follow the tale of the Fall of the Round Table Wolf Game, put up by the one and only Citizen Clone, and he is joining me right now. Clone, what is up?
How's it going, man?
All right, so let's get into it. This is going to turn into a 4.5 hour long podcast. I know it. So we're going to try and keep the start of this succinct. But it's super important that we get the idea behind the podcast, or behind the Wolf Game, the setup, the balance, all those things before we see what happens too. Yeah. Because who fucking knows? You know, you play this thing through a million times in your mind, and you think it's going to go one way, and it never does. I remember how frustrated you were during the last game, thinking it's not going the way I intended.
That's happened with every game. This one, I actually made it through the first day without everybody blowing it up, so that's a record. But
that's because I wasn't in the game. I would have blown it up.
That is part of it. We talked yesterday. I probably would have given you totally different expectations.
I already thought of a way to blow this game up, but I'll get into that. I thought of how I would have blown it up. I have a thing. I like blowing up games in day one.
You guys are, I mean, I try to think it through, and I try to come up with ways to plug all the holes, and you guys are better than me at this. I mean, you guys, just even hearing the way that people today were kind of figuring out a lot of the details of what I had thought, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So let's start there. So what's the idea behind this game?
To give you something to do a podcast about? No. My last few have been, they're pretty gimmicky because I'm just tired of the regular game, and I'm into the idea of the setup, so I try to come up with something a little different. And we had talked a while back about doing something without a seer.
Yep.
Which had been in my mind for a while.
And I don't think we've ever done it. The seer's been like the only thing that's been the same about every game.
Yeah. And I understand why, but you know, I want a game that's kind of the core of this, which is you guys reading each other, right? And keep catching each other in lies and stuff. And in the other games that I've run, I've been disappointed that people have been, I feel like there's certain strategies people fall back to, and there's less false claims being made. You know, it takes a lot more effort to put out a big bullshit story.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping maybe this is going to force some people to do that, or it's at least going to allow them to do that without fear of somebody 100% being able to nail them to the wall.
So as you were setting this game up, and I think you did a really good job, by the way. But one of my big worries, and we went back and forth via text for several days leading up to this. My biggest worry is it was too lopsided towards the assassins. So kind of break down how it's set up.
So we got rid of all the normal roles. So right there, that should be generally helping the assassins, right? Because everything else is
I would think
protecting each other and checking each other out. Yep. So then, because of that, we decided to go low on the number of wolves or assassins.
There's 17 players total, but only 3 assassins.
Yeah, so that's like the biggest.
Yeah,
I still think the assassins might have it too easy, but we'll see. I mean,
that's pretty lopsided, though. I mean, the village could string this out for what, 7 days? Maybe not, no, 6 days before they would get pinched.
It's true. But there's a couple different ways, you know, the ways that these the vows that have come up, they can get some people killed, and sorcerer can get some people killed, and I don't know. I mean, I'm still waiting. I'm nervous to hear the way that you have thought of blowing this up. Rent actually made a comment that he had some ideas about how it might get blown up. So we'll see. Maybe they'll get crushed. Who knows?
So the assassins are Kohler, Rent, and Trempic.
Yep. Yep.
That's a weird setup because Kohler and Tremp generally aren't very active.
Yep.
So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the randomization. It was random picking the assassins,
random.
Right?
Really random. Yeah.
Yeah. But they got Rent. You know, it's always good to get like a Rent, a jar, a jelly, or a joke. You know, you get one of those guys and you know you're in pretty good shape strategically.
Well, Rent says this is the first time he's ever been a wolf.
Really?
That's what he said.
That was probably a wolfy thing to say. He's probably fucking lying. He's wolfing you. That might be true. I think there was a game where he was a lone wolf, though. I swear that he had some kind of third party.
Well, the jelly one where everybody was a lone wolf.
No, it wasn't that. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. All right, so, and which one of those guys is the sorcerer?
Kohler.
Oh, Kohler. That leaves a lot of power in his hands.
Yeah, I didn't hear from him until like 1 o'clock today.
Yeah.
And I did text him to say it would be nice if you showed up.
Yeah, because you kind of have an important role in the game.
Maybe that's tampering, but
no, that's not. No, he needs to get in the goddamn game.
Yeah. So hopefully people have fun. That's the other problem is that all you people are starting to have lives, and it's hard to run these things because everybody, you know, I'll be here for 2 hours on Thursday, and that's it.
Yep.
Yeah, so we're talking about the setup. So the idea, so there was going to be no, we're getting rid of the rules. We're getting rid of the seer. Then we had that idea of the sorcerer, which is, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself.
Oh,
the whole idea of the sorcerer, who each night, it's Kohler, he's going to make guesses at the information that the knights have. Whole idea is just to prevent a full reveal and make everybody scared to give out information.
Yeah, that's good. So that, I mean, we got rid of the seer and got rid of the full reveal, which are always the two big things in mm-hmm. early in the game. So, mm-hmm. Going to the knights or the vanillagers for a second, they all mm-hmm. had to pick one of six potions and or decanters. And this part I don't know, so you're gonna have to fill me in. What do each one of them represent?
So there was only three options. Two of the potions ended up being the same. So the blue ones were, you wanted that detailed?
Yeah, sure.
Blue were the people that had to make the blood vow to kill. Red is the blood vow to protect. Green are the people that got a choice between killing or protecting. Yellow is kill. Purple is a choice between killing or protecting, and chartreuse is vow to protect.
Okay.
And people get points. Do you see some of them actually looked up the color of chartreuse to be able to pull? That was
I thought that was funny.
That was high quality. You know, I tried to balance those two, but that's tricky. So we have it that you have to protect three people or kill two people. And I think some of the people have just assumed that protection is the easiest route, right? Because it's in the same direction that you would be going anyway with the village. But I feel like the other one might be easier because you have good guesses about who's going to get killed in this game, right? I mean, just going into a game like
yeah.
this?
Yeah, you know Reds is going to get killed. He's never going to survive to the end. Right?
Yeah. Although, I mean, my hope with the setup is that some of that will get flip-flopped, too, that people will, you know, overthink it. And if we know that Reds is going to get killed, then maybe we go the other way, and then...
I'm just actually kidding. Reds almost always stays alive close to the end because the Wolves don't want to kill him.
That's true.
Oh, poor Reds. So
I like Reds.
So did anybody that, because you got the results right now of the people that got picked, did anybody either choose to protect or kill all Wolves?
Let me see. No. If they chose to protect all Wolves, they'd be dead.
They'd be dead right off the bat.
Yeah, which would have been awesome. Although, actually, we have somebody. Yeah, Joke has dug himself a hole. He picked two Wolves to protect.
Ouch. Two out of the three. So if his one villager dies, he dies.
Yep.
Who's his one villager?
Lemke.
Woo!
Yeah.
Look out, Joke.
And he's going to have no idea what he's going into. Oh, I can already almost read the PM that he's going to send me telling me what bullshit it was that he got killed. It's a tradition with all my games that Joke writes to me to tell me.
Ken just texted me and said he sent you his PM.
He just did? All right.
I want you to look at it because I bet he picked all Wolves.
Let's see.
I'm going to laugh.
Sorry, never got email notification. No, he's fine.
Okay. So, see, this is the other place that it gets really squirrely for the assassin's, advantage is that now there's villagers with a motivation to kill other villagers in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
This is going to be a bloodbath really quick.
That's what I think, too. I mean, so the only things – what are the only things the village has going for it? They – they have a little bit of information here, right? Because they know what their potion was, and they know who the other people that drank the same potion, whereas the assassins don't know that. I don't really know how you can use that to your advantage. Maybe you have an idea.
Well, that's where I thought I could blow up the game is
– Really?
If I talk to – talked everybody into it, and I think I could, as a villager, I would make the argument that if everybody came out with who they chose to protect or kill and put all the names on there, we could almost figure it out like a logic problem. Because the assassins, first off, wouldn't know that there's a protect two or a protect three. Or a kill three, you know, they wouldn't know what the difference was. So they would have to wait it out. They couldn't be the first people to say what their thing was.
Well, I intend for them to know the options.
Oh, they did know the options?
They don't know. Yeah, no, they know the options, so I already screwed that up for you.
Okay, because what I would have done is then automatically absolved the first two or three people that responded. Yeah. Just cut them right off the top. That was why I told them because that was another one of those. Don't give the village a break here. They are going to get massacred and then they're going to call bullshit on you.
Well, that's what always happens. Although, people will call bullshit no matter what. At least one of these games, I made it too easy for the Wolves, and I got called bullshit in that direction. But
because what I would have done after you get rid of the top three, then you put everybody else into a logic problem, and then you identify certain people to lynch intentionally, even if they're village.
I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to be a logic problem in the end anyway.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the only way to do it. Because later in the game, the village actually gets an advantage because... maybe not. I don't know. I got to think that through. Man, you screwed the village hard on this one.
I know. But there's only three of them. Come on.
But I'm not afraid of the assassins killing village. I'm afraid of the villagers killing themselves. They're fools for not no lynching today, by the way.
Yeah.
That was a really stupid move by no lynching.
It was such a lazy lynch. That was the... I mean, if you're going to, like, push the agenda or whatever and get people to talk and get people, like, on one side or the other, then I understand it. But it was just like, maybe Bill.
Right. Well, and I think people think they can read into voting patterns, but I think we're at the level where you're not going to get much out of day one voting patterns. But what you would get is if they knew and they mentioned multiple times in the thread that they figure the village had to have numbers because they weren't getting a seer.
Yeah.
And if you know you have numbers, you know you have an increased odds of lynching a villager. So why wouldn't you keep that person in the game at least until you figure out what the potions do?
Yeah. That's
stupid. It was stupid.
On the one hand, I agree because numbers are their biggest defense here. But on the other hand, I mean, I made it mysterious enough that they really didn't have any idea what was happening with these potions, and that was all over the place. So in their defense, I'm not exactly sure what they thought might have been coming down on top of them tonight.
All right. So one thing that you told me right before the podcast is everybody submitted their names. Tell me what Jay Wood did.
I'm still waiting on his correction. let me find his email. God.
That's so good.
Did he
have to kill or protect? He had to kill.
He's protecting Lemke, Jar, and Daniel Patton.
Okay, now let me tell you why that's a bad move. Now, when you're protecting people, I think Jar is a good one to protect. You keep that guy around. He's smart. You know, you keep Lemke around. He seemed like a villager on day one. And then I think you keep Daniel Patton around mainly because he's not playing the fucking game. Who does that? Who has to pick three? The guy hasn't played in the last two Wolf games. Where did he even come up with that name?
I think he might have played in the last one. He did play in the last one, but... I don't know.
Oh, Jay Wood. What's wrong with you, man?
I'm just gonna stick a name on there. But I don't know. Have you caught up on the thread today? There were some people that were on it. Bill was getting there.
Uh-huh.
So he's dead.
It was too bad they got rid of Bill because I was trying to read it as if I didn't know who was who.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill came off as like one of the most villagerish people around.
Yeah.
I would have been wrong about my day one pick, though. I'll freely admit that. If I was thinking objectively, I would have thought that Spam was Wolf.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, I think Spam is just churning, trying to figure it out. He's pretty good at that. Yeah. PR is really good at that. Man, yeah, Bill was good last game, and he was starting to put it together this game. But
I think people were just scared because he did such a good job as a Wolf.
Yeah, so that's true. So I haven't even told you. You don't even know that I changed up. I mean, I was struggling with this all day, what to do with the kill thing. So my original intention had been just to change the win condition, that if the game ended and you hadn't killed your people, you weren't part of the win. But last game, you remember, people ignored the damn win condition because they're like, I don't care what it says.
Yeah.
So they screwed themselves because then I changed it to now there's pretty much a time limit. So if one of your guys is still alive when it gets down to seven people, they're going to randomly start losing villagers.
This is going to be really fucking weird to watch, because every person that I see post has two agendas. They have their side to win,
yeah,
and then they have to either protect or kill. I almost need spreadsheet or something to see who's after who. Do you have something like that you can send me?
Oh, yeah. Don't tell Aztecs that you're going to make a spreadsheet.
Oh, shit.
Just bleep that part out. Oh, yeah. I got spreadsheets. But, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that – I mean, that's what I've tried to do with all these different games is try to give different motivations than just the standard motivation. And mostly – it hasn't worked. I mean, there's been some interesting things in all the games, and I've been happy with them, but none of them have gone like I hoped.
But they always go better than, I don't know. I think you're too hard on yourself because every one of your games have been some of the most popular Wolf games ever. So they're never going to go like you want them to, though, because we're a bunch of crazy bitches. We think of crazy things to try and outsmart the moderator.
Yeah, I mean, I was all excited about that, keeping the good players alive the last time.
Yep.
And then you motherfuckers were free to do whatever you wanted once that happened.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We're gonna have to see what goes down in this one. I'm rereading the thread while I'm talking to you here, and there's a few people that are kind of laying in the dark right now too. Villagers that are laying in the dark.
I was wondering if Jelly was going to show up in the next first, if he was going to try the 3 days gone thing again.
Huh. All right. Well, in the interest of keeping this whole thing together, we're at 21 minutes already of this podcast.
Yeah, man.
So,
get somebody else on here tomorrow.
Yeah, so we're gonna try and get somebody that dies. Either is somebody dying tonight? Who dies tonight?
Yeah, pretty sure PR is going.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll try and get PR on the podcast tomorrow, and maybe whoever gets lynched, if I can talk Bill into it. Bill would be awesome to get on here, but we'll see.
And I had mentioned this to you, but I'm gonna be in New York later this week, and at some point, you might be able to talk to Rent and I together. We might meet up Wednesday night or Thursday night.
That would be really, really cool if you could figure it out.
Yeah. All right.
All right, man. So I'm gonna end the recording. Stay on here for a minute.
All right.
And we will see you tomorrow. Today, recap. Bill, dead. You people are stupid for not know lynching. Tonight, PR, dead. Tough for the Village because now you lost two great players. Don't fuck it up tomorrow, bitches. And Jay Wood, I guarantee you, Daniel Patton is safe. Attention,
everyone. And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back from day one has been completed. Day two has been completed. When I last left off with you, I just got done talking with Clone about how the Village had no chance the way they were fucking up. But day two, things changed quickly. So when I left you, we were just waiting for night actions, and Clone let us in on the secret that the guy that was going to die was PR. So PR joins me on the podcast. Welcome.
Hey, man. Happy to be here. Let's get into it.
So what the thing you haven't heard from the previous podcast yesterday was Clone counting the votes as we were on the air, and he was so disappointed that it was you because he thought that you were likely going to be the one that got analytical enough to figure out the logic problem that was going to be day two.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. No. I was a little disappointed that I didn't get to see the results. Well, I obviously saw them. I've been reading along, but we didn't get to participate in the results of what was in all of the chalices, which turned out to be, in case people haven't pieced it together by now, mine was to be destructive. Mine was to kill, and I put in two names at that point in time, and my two names were Goot and Red. Were the ones that I was trying to target.
Those seem like two good people to kill in general.
Well, so when you're going off of first day stuff, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to talk about gameplay, but like their histories or whatever. But from my logic at the time was Goop had like a very, it was super flimsy logic, but he had had some interesting sing-songy rhyming post, and I called him out on it. And then when Joke did something not at all similar, but also referenced like the Knights of the Round Table, Goot was very quick to go, well, if you're going to be upset with me, are you going to be upset with him too? And since I had never really put down a vote, all of the first day stuff, I try to gauge to see who's over or under reacting to things. And it struck me that like Goot was being a little bit defensive. So like that was really just a very flimsy thing. And then with Red, the way I felt about it was, he was very quick to not want to, when I posited the idea of, hey, when we get these all drank, we can go through tomorrow, do a reveal, and then start nailing people down on actual decisions they made and the abilities or the lack thereof that the drinks gave, and let's like really start to progress forward. And Reds voted, actually put a vote down against me based on the idea that without any other information, why would we do a reveal? And it just seemed ludicrous to me. And then lo and behold, on day two, he was the only one that fucked the reveal up. Like, he's the only one that made a mistake. So either he's intentionally against the idea of town profiting from knowledge, or he's just really bad at helping town profit from knowledge. And either way, it seems like a good person to target.
Okay, so. All right. So now, based on what you just said, you don't know who the assassins are at this point, correct?
The only one that I know is Trump, because he died and was labeled as an assassin. I have no other knowledge.
Okay, so this is what's going to be fun about the podcast. I want you to give me a guess based on what you've seen right now of who the assassins are.
Okay, so not knowing like balance numbers, I'm kind of going to have to guess.
Yep.
Right now, I think Reds would be the top of my list, just because he was against having town knowledge the first day, and then the second day, when push came to shove, everybody else got the reveal right, and then he did his mistakenly, and then kind of joked around about it not being a big deal. So he's doing this thing where I don't know if it's intentional subterfuge or if it's unintentional and just bumbling, but either way, I don't think he's really contributing to town. So he would be pretty high on my list. I have followed a bit during day two. I did not parse a lot of the logic as I was working today. I would probably go away from Goot a little bit, and I would focus more on folks like Jelly or, I don't know, Potentially Rent. I think that if Jar had all of this information ahead of time from the assassins, he wouldn't, I don't know that he would so strongly put himself out there for something that would potentially backfire. Now, if Tramp and Jar had the foresight to kind of lead town down a hole, this would be an amazing way to do it. And I don't put it past Jar of being capable of that, but I think right now he's bought enough cred to be pro town. So I think at this point in town, and this point in time, for right now, Jar is the most trustworthy, either by design or just by good play. And I think Reds is the least trustworthy.
All right. Now, do you want to know the truth?
Yeah, hit me.
Okay. So there are in. Keep this between us, because I'm going to talk to everybody that dies that will come on the podcast. So
absolutely, no spoilers.
All right, so the layout is there's only three wolves. One of them died. You know, okay. That was Trempic.
Okay.
One of them you nailed just now in Rent.
Oh, really? Okay.
You nailed all right. Rent. And then the last one has had a couple missteps, but somehow is still blended in, and that's Kohler.
So the problem with Mr. Kohler is that he's so convivial and genial on the boards that, like, you take his missteps as part of his personality. He's going to float under the radar for a while. The only reason why I was really going at, like, would really think that Rent would be a bad guy is that he's being a little bit more actively suspicious of theories, and generally he kind of blows things out to their natural logical end. He's like, okay, well, let's figure it out and run with it. I'm shocked that that Jar was able to put together a full reveal with, you know, 14, 15, 16 bodies and pull it off. Like, that's kind of unheard of. So that was an amazing play by him.
So I want to I want to talk about three things with you. I want to talk about Jar, Reds, and Rent. But first, let's finish up on Rent, because I texted Clone about halfway through the day and said, and now I know what's going on, so I have that bias, but I am confident that if I was playing the game, I would have been all over Rent because of exactly what you just said. Not only does he normally have really well thought out long posts, and he's clearly skimming in this game, but every time something's come up, he's been like, wow, I don't know if we should trust Joke with that kind of logic. And then he was after Sugar right after that. And then he even tried to save Trempic at the end, saying, would Lemke lie? And it's like, that is so, he is suffering from the bad acting syndrome.
Rem does this thing. It's weird. Like, and I really hate the metagame aspect of this, but Rent as Town is always pretty much, hey, we need to find out who has the soundest logic that we can trust, and we need to find out right now so we can start narrowing the field. Yeah. And in this game, he's playing exactly the opposite of that. He's doing things that are, well, we know that we can't always rely on this, and we know that, well, this thing could probably fall apart here and here. We can't really know that this is right. We can just kind of hope that this is right. And that's just kind of against the way he normally plays his town. And I think I don't know if it's a comfort thing. I don't know. I can't remember the last time I've played in a game where he was Wolf, but it seems like he's suffering from the, like you said, the bad acting syndrome.
Yep.
He doesn't feel like his heart's in it.
And, so good job. You nailed him. Now, Jar, you're exactly right, man. Somebody needed to take hold of this game early. Clone and I were talking before the game started, and I said the only chance the village has to win, because the odds were stacked against him without a seer or anything, the only thing they had was numbers and the ability to run this logic problem. And we talked about it before it went on the thread, but if somebody took the bull by the horns and actually worked through this whole logic problem, Village had a chance, but it would have been incredibly difficult to do with 17 players. But Jar pulled it off today. I mean, he gave the village
the shocking part. Yeah, the shocking, like, once I got the PM from Clone about what the chalice was doing and what my post restrictions would be until everything got in, until I gave him names and whatnot, it struck me as incredibly interesting and very, very well thought out. And I honestly thought, okay, so the path is there for Town, but we're probably going to have to get through like 2 days of luck before we can really narrow the focus, because this is going to get complicated and people are going to intentionally muddy it up. And Jar has done a fantastic job of sifting through that shit.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't easy to get through today. And I should mention Spam Box did a really nice job refining Jar's idea to do it backwards as opposed to forwards, so that it caused all three people in, you know, or however many people, everybody had to make a claim of some type, so the last person didn't get off. So that was smart, setup.
So. Yeah, Spam and Jar, this really makes me want to like expand the idea of this kind of game and have them on the opposite side of it, because you know you're playing with people that are looking at it from a real from a real macro standpoint and breaking it down and just being able to see them with like a little bit more knowledge or a little bit more power in the hand would make it very interesting. Like, that's why, like, I think that like we waste the alpha role in a lot of games because people don't really play with the last day in mind. And these guys, both of them from the jump, were like, well, if this is where we need to go, this is how we're going to have to get there. And they just dove right in and are both doing amazing jobs.
Yeah, because now in my mind, I'm trying to think of myself as a player. In my head, I've cleared Jar, and I've cleared Spam, and I've definitely cleared Lemke because he was the one that called out Trempic and basically killed him. So now the village has at least a fighting chance. But what we haven't seen yet is the sorcerer make an appearance, and Kohler is the sorcerer. So what he has to do is if he picks Lemke and has the knowledge of what they're going to do, which everybody divulged, protect or kill. So he has that knowledge already, but now he has to actually pick the names. And if he picks the names of the people they picked, they're dead. So that could be an interesting twist if he hits on somebody. Because the second part of this logic problem that we thought might happen, or at least in my head how I would have strategized it, is now you'd selectively kill people based on all of the people they picked to weed out the wolves, because if you're left with a wolf, you know, you die.
Right, but from the other end of that, from the wolf side of it, because, I mean, honestly, my favorite role in these games are wolf-wolves. The further into the game we get, the more stacked it becomes for Kohler. So he really, like, what he needs to do, in my mind, is try to float under the radar a little bit while town picks off one or two of its own, try to get, like, one more Miss Lynch, two more Miss Lynches out of it. And then he's really narrowed the pool on how to, like, which names to select once he goes on his little killing spree.
Yep.
And he can kind of run the table towards game, you know, day four or so. So day four, day five. So town really needs to hit on Rent within the next 2 days or Kohler within the next 2 days. If they get Kohler, then Rent's going to be effed, like just out of the water.
There's too many honestly, smart if people I was, in the game. I think somebody's going to pick up on Rent tomorrow.
Well, see, that's the thing is if you're Rent right now, Rent is so much less valuable than Kohler that you can't really use Rent to sow discord amongst Jar and Spam because they're pretty much town confirmed in town's eyes. Lemke, you can kind of make a case, but Rent has to stay away from all of that entirely and pick off the weak ones like Reds, who's been playing a very sloppy game. And if he can pick off one or two there just to buy Kohler time, he can die on the third day and it's fine. Or like he could die like 2 days from now and it'll be fine because Kohler will have a much smaller pool to work from. Because if they can trade two more town for Rent, Kohler should be good.
Yeah.
But they need to trade two more town or else it's like Wolves are in a bad spot right now.
Yep, agreed. All right, so you brought up Reds. Now, I know Reds gets pissed that I always talk about how he's bad at the game, but God damn it, man. When I watched this from afar today, normally I get so mad at him during the game, and I have this Reds rule that he hates me bringing up, but first thing is I ignore all of his posts when I'm in a Wolf game. I just ignore him entirely. Because
if he says something that's worth hitting on, somebody else will pick up on it.
Exactly. And if Red says something with conviction in a Wolf game, there's a 90% chance that the exact opposite is true. That's my Red's rule. And what I saw him do today was a pattern of the wolfiest shit that you could ever do. And he's village. I mean...
You can't. So the thing with Red is that he plays a reactionary game. He plays an emotional game. And the town can't afford to get caught up in like little nothing skirmishes because it wastes whole days. And the day is the only time the town has to make any progress at all, especially in a game like this where there's no investigatory role, there's no killing role really for town. So it's like, I mean, there is, but it's in a much more convoluted way. It's not, you know, like a one-for-one thing. So town's really only avenue is to make good use of the day. And when you're playing with somebody that's so emotional and reactionary, it just muddies the waters.
Yeah.
And on something where you can't trust people to begin with, you're not helping. And I don't think he intends well. I just don't think he plays a team game. I don't think I've ever seen him play a team game.
It was so funny today.
Super frustrating.
It was so funny today when they were parsing out the final details of this reveal, and he said it wrong. They corrected him. Then he said something with conviction, and then they corrected him again, and then he blew it on the reveal. I was laughing so hard at work that I had to walk outside because I was like at the point where there's tears coming out of my eyes. At like, it was, if that was a television show, you would be like, man, this shit is not believable. No one would do that. It was just a fucking hilarious 15 minutes.
Well, and to go to your point, it's like, to me, in my head, I'm thinking he's so defensive and reactionary, and he's doing this wrong. This has to be intentional, right? Like, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yes,
on the
exactly.
thing.
That's why it has
but
to,
it's
he standing, had to be a wolf. You said it yourself.
Yeah, it's standing out so much. That's wolf play. But, yeah, that's so frustrating.
Oh, man.
But I wanted to run something by you, and I'm doing it publicly because I don't think that I'll – I don't know that I'll ever actually do it, or if I do, it'll be down the road. What would you say to a game where every single player is a survivor role but with different powers? There's no village. There's no wolves.
It's a fight to the death. Last
it's just one
game.
On one on one.
Yeah. We got to do that.
Okay. I've been brewing one, and I think that I'm going to try to host the next time around.
Yeah, that would be great. I don't want to do a podcast for that. I want to participate in that. That's my kind of game.
Excellent. All right. Well, I know we don't have a whole lot of time. Is there anything else you wanted to touch base on?
No, the last thing I wanted to say is I thought it was funny at the end when Tremp was trying to decide which thing to claim, and Clone was texting me the play-by-play. He had the right answer. He was talking to the wolves, and at the very last minute, he changed from protect to kill or defend to kill.
Oh, Jesus.
And then he said it, and then Lemke was on him like a minute later, and then Tremp was so funny. He's like, fuck this game. This is just one big logic.
Fuck you. Fuck Clone. Fuck this.
He was so mad. It was so funny.
Oh,
and
that was great.
I didn't even try and get him on the podcast because he's so private that he wouldn't come on. But I thought that was like a classic like Wolf Game moment is when he's just like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, I'm out.
Well, knowing he had it right up until the last minute makes it so much funnier to me.
It's
a 50-50 thing, and if he guesses right, he can probably coast for the next 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And then people start breaking down, well, maybe Jar's idea didn't work because we didn't get anybody from it. And then, like, the town kind of starts to splinter a little bit. And it's so close. That's frustrating. That's really funny.
Well, and I wish I would have known if he got it right who the village would have voted for today. I have to imagine they were going to vote for Joke, Rent, or Reds. I can't.
Well, and if they would have gotten Rent, then that would have been really interesting. But I honestly think, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that tomorrow, Reds will probably catch early heat, but I think they're probably gonna lynch Joke.
Oh, interesting. Well, I'm gonna make my prediction that they are definitely gonna catch on to Rent and lynch Rent tomorrow.
Oh, you think they're going to go 2 for 2?
Yeah. Yep. Yep, I think they are. I think he's totally overacted. There's too many smart players left. Jar, Joke, Jelly, somebody's going to see what he's doing.
Well, that's the thing is, like, if all Rent has to do is dial it back a little bit, and when he talks, talk with just a little bit more confidence, he can pass muster. But if they get the next two out, if they get Rent tomorrow, I kind of really want you to get color on that day to see what his plan is going into the final days of the game.
I might do that. I've been kind of reticent to bring an active player on and then have
since
something,
you know, the info. Yeah.
Well, and have something really work out for the Wolves or something, and then have people think that it came from me. But
sure,
I don't know. I do like that idea though. I will do that if it comes up. So,
well, because I mean, there's just the idea of what his plan would be to try to not just salvage the game but win it would be, that'd be fascinating to me.
Yeah. All right. I'll do
knowing
it.
Knowing that he's under the gun. All right, buddy.
Any last words?
You know what? I appreciate you having me on, and go Village.
All right. Go Village. And so we are wrapping up day two. We don't know who gets killed yet tonight, but it should be coming up in the next hour. The smart money is on Jelly. They got to get another smart player out of there, or maybe Spam, or actually get Jar out of there. Kill that motherfucker.
Dude, if they get Jar out tonight, then
there's no Angel.
Lemke, yeah, there's no Angel. Lemke, even though he ran on Trump, you can posit on day like 4 or 5 that he did it to buy credibility, and you could get. In like an end game situation, you can be down to just one town trusted person, and at that point, it's you know, all hands on deck. So if they get Jar tonight, which that's the smart play, then Wolves might buy themselves a chance.
There you go. That's the last word. Thank you very much. I will see you tomorrow. Thank you to my guest PR, and thank you to Reds. I love you, man. You make for entertaining podcast. God love you. See you tomorrow, bitches. We're out.
Attention, everyone. One. And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. It is the end of day three, and I'm going to have to be especially careful with this portion of the podcast because I am bringing on a living member of the game right now. So last time when I talked to you, I had interviewed PR, who had just died, and now I am bringing on the very much alive Reds. Reds, what's up?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. This is crazy. This game's getting a little bit wacky. I can see people's patience starting to get tested, trying to figure out how the hell they're going to get out of this thing. It all seems very confused right now. How are you feeling?
You know, it is confusing, but at the same time, I love it. You know, I'm really enjoying the setup. You know, it's putting us more into... kind of a player game rather than a role game. You know, and I think Trimke really kind of hit it on the head on his way out. We're playing a logic game. And I picked that out early on. I think I posted about that, you know, that basically we were playing a logic game. We've got to draw our grid out and just kind of go from there. But I love the setup for the no reveals. And I just really think that this is a really good game setup. So Clone, hats off, man. Good job.
Yeah, he killed it, man. He was sending me back and forth about the game setup for like the past week, and he kept making little tweaks. And every time he tweaked it, I was like, "Oh shit, now we got something here." And and it's playing out relatively smoothly so far. But you're right. I mean, it's a weird game setup. We've never had a game without a seer. At least I don't think we have. And the way you guys did the logic on day two to find Tremp was it was impressive, man. There was a lot of work and coordination that went into that.
there was a lot of work and coordination went into it. And I actually was not really involved in that, which probably helped in its success.
No, you were, because I was giving you a hard time. You haven't heard it yet, but I was giving you a hard time because it was so funny when you guys were figuring it out and you said it wrong and then they corrected you and then you said it some other way and they were like, no, Reds, like as soon as blank happens, I forgot exactly how it happened, and then you revealed and they're like, no, Reds, not Reds. And then you're like, it doesn't matter anyway. I was laughing so hard I had to walk outside because, like, you revealed and then you're like, nah, it doesn't matter. One thing doesn't matter. I was crying. It was so funny. And it turned out not to matter, but at the time it was like, oh, no.
Oh, yeah. So you know, it's been really hard for me because, you know, I'm playing while at work, so I'm not able to devote the time to it. You know, I'm able to play in like, you know, 20 minutes bursts of time every few hours and, you know, having to play catch up and read through, and it makes it really hard, but it also is helping because one thing I'm working really hard to do is change my play style to where I'm not that aggressive out front person. I'm more laid back, you know, quiet analytical type guy. Though not entirely analytical, but you know, and I think Sugar, you know, pointed it out a couple times that, you know, I'm not playing like myself because, you know, I'm not going after the Reds bait. And that's what I'm seeing. You know, I'm seeing a lot of Reds bait. You know, Sugar's done it twice. Jay Wood's doing it, but he's just an idiot. So.
Yeah. So, when you said you were laid back, that's the first thing I thought of is you got a little fired up at the end of today. And you said you were such an idiot to Jay Wood. What was that about?
Well, okay, so we're in the night phase, okay? And Jay Wood has said, hey, I'm down to one last person. So of Goot and Jar, one of them is a wolf and one of them is a knight. I'm pretty positive, okay? Now, if he's right, then the wolves know who he thinks is a knight. So if they kill that person and he was telling the truth about being a defender and that is his last defender, he's an idiot because he just got his two night kills.
Yep. Wait, say that one more time. I wanted to make sure I got you right.
Okay. So Jay Wood earlier in the day said he was down to his last person. So he knows that they are a knight. And then during the night.
I gotcha. Yep.
Okay. So then during the night phase, he goes, oh, hey, Goot or Jar, one of you two is a wolf, one of you is a knight. Well, I'm immediately going, well, the only way you're going to know one of these two is a knight is if they're your last person. So if you're right and one of them is a wolf, let's say Jar is a wolf, and they go, oh, well, Goot's got to be his last person. They kill Goot, they kill him. And he basically gave them two night kills.
So how did you know that one of them was the one of his people, though?
Well, I don't. He could be.
He said, in case I die, I feel like Goot and Jar. One is a wolf, the other is a knight. If he knows his last person is a knight, you know, he wouldn't have listed him there, right?
Boy, I don't know with him sometimes.
That's true. I don't know with him either.
This is like his third or fourth game, and I just don't know. He plays really out there. I mean, I don't want to say Oyo-esque, but I mean, he's out there.
I've seen him outside of Wolf games. Some of his trading style and everything makes me wonder what's going on in his noggin sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like yesterday he called me out for revealing early when I wasn't supposed to. Then he turned around and did the exact same thing.
It's so funny.
What the hell, dude?
So, okay, so now, because nobody's going to listen to this podcast until it's all over, the one thing that I can obviously reveal is that you're not a bad guy.
No, I'm not. I actually texted Clone and was like, damn it, I wanted to be an assassin.
Yeah, you're a good guy here. So
I am a good guy.
You're trying to figure this whole thing out, so let me put you on the spot right now. You have to pick who the assassins are that are left. Who, if you had to pick them right now, would you say are the bad guys?
You know, I'm probably completely way off base, but I'm going to go Hank, Jelly, and one of Jar and or Spam. I want to say all the guys that went number two are really kind of safe unless they got really, really lucky. So, you know, Ken's up there. It's just, boy, I'm so bad at these. but I'm going to go Hank. I'm going to go Jelly, and I'm going to go possibly Jar.
All right. You're on the record. So now, when you listen to the podcast after it's all over, you can see if you're right, wrong, or partially right, partially wrong, whatever it may be.
Yeah, you know, part of me hopes that I'm partially right because since nobody will listen to this until after it's all said and done, my three people that I defended were Sugar, Jar, and Moden.
Okay.
So if
so, Sugar's dead.
Sugar's dead.
Yep.
So I need Jar and Moden to both be true knights and to survive.
Yep.
So I know at least one of them is still a true knight.
Because you're not dead.
Because I'm not dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. Wow. This is interesting. I have no idea how this game's going to wrap. You know, the cool thing that Clone did, though, here is, you know, and everybody picked up on it really quick, is starting day two, is everybody was going to have to look for a new way to find bad guys.
Oh, yeah.
A way that we've never done before. And everybody picked up on it really quick. And but he also put, you know, that sorcerer in place to try to protect against the full reveal, which seems to have worked today. So it's interesting because at some point it seems like the good guys are going to have to make a choice on whether or not they think it's going actually worth doing a reveal. I don't know. I'm not divulging anything there. I have no idea.
No, I agree with you 100%. And I think that tomorrow, day four, is not the right day to do it. It depends on what happens tonight. If we lose two people again tonight, we almost have to roll the dice and have the people who probably went number two reveal, simply because they're the only people I think everybody feels comfortable with, because they were kind of double, what's the word I'm looking for here? They were double qualified or double quantified, whatever, where both number three and number one said, oh yeah, they're telling the truth.
Yep.
You know, the people that went first are the ones that I'm most leery of, because they only needed a 2/3 chance.
Yep.
To guess right. And I'm going to go back through, and that's what makes me so suspicious of Jar, is because he was originally going to do the third, and then he suddenly flip-flopped and did it first. And I think, and Jar's not stupid, okay? There's a lot of people that play this game, and you heard it here first, hell of a lot smarter than me. And Jar's one of them. And that dude doesn't do anything without thinking everything through.
Yeah, he is a smart guy. That's for sure.
You know, so that's what makes me worried about him. And I don't like this whole Spam Jar interplay, but I'm not sure if we would have two assassins leading the village down the Primrose Path, because if they are, they're playing a great game.
So the last thing I'm going to ask you, and then I'm going to let you go, is next up, I'm going to interview Joke, who died last night unexpectedly. What do you think happened, why he died?
Well, I think that Lemke was his last protect. I think that he defended three people, and he either defended two wolves and Lemke, or he defended PR, Lemke, and a wolf, or assassin, sorry.
Okay.
So, you know, I think that those are really the only two scenarios. I mean, if the sorcerer got Joke on day two and guessed everything correct, hats off to that sorcerer. I mean, that was amazing. And if Joke is actually leaving breadcrumbs with the whole chartreuse and everything like that,
that conversation was making me laugh today, because it's funny whenever you're in a wolf game, like you can read into something too much, but at the same time you're like, that was too weird not to be just unintentional. And then you get your mind going like a million different ways, and it might be mean something, it might mean nothing, but you get yourself so turned around, and it's easy to get swallowed up by those things.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Absolutely.
So, all right, I'm going to let you go. Any last words for the Threads of Time listeners?
Sorry that none of you are playing the Wolf game. Those of you that are, it's been fun. I love it. It's great. It's probably one of the better Wolf games we've had in a while. And it's just, you know, again, Clone, thank you so much. Wonderful game, wonderful setup. And I've got a couple of ideas I want to bounce off of you.
Awesome. All right. Reds, thank you very much. Good luck the rest of the game, man. I hope you win. I genuinely hope you win. So good luck. Make good decisions.
Thanks, man.
All right. Everybody stay tuned. Joke is coming up. Until then, Reds, thank you very much. That's the end of day 3. We're out, bitches.
Attention, everyone. One.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
And we are back. This is a twofer because Threads of Time podcast builds value for my customers, for my listener base. So tonight, you're getting double the treat. First, you got Reds, and now you got the one and only Joke Line. Joke, welcome to the podcast.
Good evening. Good evening. That's no joke.
You sound great for a dead guy.
Yeah, it was a short life. It was a full life, and I'm done.
So, now, just to be clear before we start, you don't know what the answers to the setup are yet, correct?
I do not.
Okay, so
I only know from my vantage point. I know a little bit more than the active players know right now.
Do you know? Do you want to know? Can I reveal it to you at some point during our conversation?
Sure, I'll let you play it out as you see fit, because you might have fun teasing some things out of me and see how wrong I can be, and I'd be interested in getting some clues as well.
That's exactly the plan. Perfect. So before we go too far, I just have to recap for all the people that just heard Reds when I asked him who he thought the active wolves were, and he listed 7 people. And all of them were wrong. Every single one of them. Awesome.
Whoa.
Yeah, he's not on the right track. So Joke, I'm going to ask you the same question. If you had to pick who are the assassins right now, who would you say they are?
Well, let me get back to the screen that has all the players on it so I can
cover
the waterfront here. Well, first of all, I'll tell you right now, I know Tremp was one. He was one of the people I was protecting. I also know that Kohler is one because he was the third person that I was protecting. And when Lemke died, I knew Kohler was dirty because I had to take Tremp out. He was just too guilty, and I had protected him. So I was one of the first people to jump on the bandwagon to vote to lynch him because I figured I was fairly safe. I'm protecting 3. One's a wolf. I have a pretty good chance of staying alive.
Yep.
Not thinking that I had nailed 2 of them just in picking who I was going to protect.
That was interesting. So while the assassins were picking who to night kill, they were vacillating between Lemke and one other player, and they were leaning towards the other player, and then picked Lemke, which killed you, and Clone was going back and forth with me, like, if they kill Lemke, this whole game's going to get blown wide open because you were going to die as well, and you're a strong player, so that was a big blow for the village.
Well, I think it's more of a numbers thing. I don't think I was making much traction yet at the point that I departed the game. I tend to like my game better later on, but I doubted that I was going to make it. There's a lot of people questioning what I was doing even in the early stages, and that's fairly typical. But it's worse for the village to lose 2, particularly if they really have to argue over why and what it means.
Yeah.
And some people were pretty astute in figuring out what it was. and enough people were throwing enough questions on the wall that I don't know if that will get any sway with anyone.
So who do you think the assassins are? You already named two.
Well, the first question I think you have to ask is it four or is it five? Because I look at 17 players. I look at no powers for the village, although they do have a mechanism to find assassins. But I still think it's got to be a four or a five and maybe a four. So I'm going to play it as if, I'll guess, as if there are five, thinking that it could go either way on the setup. So two of them are Tremp and Kohler. I think Goot might be one. I think that Spam might be one. And I think, well, no, I'm going to take that back on Spam because Spam has been too helpful with the method. I think his method actually worked. I think Jar could be, though, because he was kind of running it, orchestrating it.
Mm-hmm.
He would be a tough player to have there. I just think there's some folks that are laying in the weeds, and there are some folks that are true operators. It could easily be a Rent or a Spam or a Jar running this thing. And so, as I look at my own little, I'm sorry, I'm just throwing names out and thinking out loud.
Because
you kind of put me on the spot with that, and maybe this is how you get Reds to give seven names and not have any of them right.
Yeah.
I can reflect on this, that in my own little group of green decanter drinkers, Jelly would have to be pretty gutsy to go first and guess or eliminate correctly. I knew I was correct, so I was happy that I got to go second, and Wood assured us that we were both telling the truth. Now, I think Wood is probably clean, and I know I'm clean. Jelly could be a wolf, but that would be the village could have a really stacked against them if we're Jelly. No, my best guess is going to have to be Kohler and Goot, and I'm going to say Rent are three wolves.
Well, I got to tell you, you nailed it, actually. Not Goot, but Rent is the other assassin. There's only three.
Only three?
Yeah.
So did we get the sorcerer?
No. Kohler is the sorcerer. So he's still out there. But so here's the interesting thing about the game setup is there the idea behind the game is it was basically completely vanilla. There was no help for the village. There's no seer, no angel, no secret powers, nothing. But the one thing that they had two things on their side. They had numbers, but they were going to need them because villagers can die even like yourself without being night killed. And the only thing they had to do is figure out early that the entire thing is a logic problem. And there's multiple logic problems. Clone did such a good job setting this up because there was the first logic problem that Jar had the first idea and then Spam evolved it.
Yeah.
Better than we even predicted. And then the next logic problem is going back and saying, okay, who declared first and then who's left? Because at some point, I think the village is going to have to reveal who they picked, even though the sorcerer may still be out there and can start picking them off. It's going to be a tough call. They're going to have to probably make that call tomorrow. Because they're going to be worried that there's, like you said, four wolves, and they're going to look at numbers and think that they only have two shots at it left.
Well, and indeed, that's my first thought, and it's the product of not really appreciating the game well enough. The longer I linger with this and discuss it with somebody, the more I appreciate some of the finer points of it, which is, you know, those string kills could really factor in, so less assassins really makes more sense. And that not only makes being an assassin more precarious, but it's easier to hide a smaller group as well.
And
let's go.
And you got to be careful with your lynch, because a Lynch could initiate two kills.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you it's pretty good.
You get it in the day cycle or the night cycle, and you get double if you want. And then the sorcerer's out there making guesses. And I'm sure the sorcerer puts in a guess every night, and they whiff a couple times. But at the end of the game, they could dispatch two, and that could make the difference.
Yeah, so the other cool thing that Clone made it natural to probably only last 5 days max, because as you get deeper into the game, the likelihood of three or maybe even four kills in a day is likely.
Yeah, it gets more and more likely. Let's go back for a minute on my choice of three people to protect, Kohler, Lemke, and Tremp. A lot of people have posted immediately after I died that it's like joke to Bren Crum. Well, first of all, it's not that much like me in later games. I did that early in our Wolf games, but I haven't done it as much later. But I would have been inclined to start breadcrumbing, not the day I died, but the day after. Mm-hmm. And if I was able to breadcrumb at all with Kohler, that could make a huge difference in this game. And I didn't leave a single clue because I died at just the wrong time, I think.
So what was you saw the big deal that people were making out of you not capitalizing chartreuse. There was nothing to that, huh?
No, I've never been able to spell chartreuse, and and I didn't put that much thought into how it was written and whether I capitalized or not. And I did see that got a fair amount of play. That notice how he did it wrong both times. He spelled it wrong, and he capitalized. It could just be that he's that stupid, but nobody thinks of that.
That's funny.
I guarantee you they'll think about it next time, though.
Yeah. You know,
no, he's that dumb.
So the funniest part of this whole thing for me was on day two when you guys were planning out exactly how to do the logic problem in what order. And I just gave Reds a hard time because he said it wrong. They corrected him. He said it wrong again. They corrected him again. And then he revealed early, and everybody freaked out. I thought yeah. I was laughing so hard that I had to walk outside.
Well, and then I was paranoid, too, because thinking, I'm going to get this wrong. I'm going to screw this up. And so they were suspicious of me because I seemed to intentionally be dense and making Spam repeat himself. And no, that's kind of what you're dealing with. That's what you got over here. He's an old man. So
that's funny. So So I thought this was one of the more interesting setups for a Wolf game. I don't think we've ever played one without a seer.
No, I think this is a great setup. I also like the fact that people weigh in with podcasts and give their thoughts on an ongoing basis, so you can kind of play it through. A lot of good innovation this time.
So with that, the other reason I wanted to do this podcast is because after it's over, you get everybody saying, oh, yeah, I knew that, and I saw this, and everybody's hindsight was 20/20, so it's good to get people on record now. So just prognosticate for me, how do you think this is going to play out now that you know the basic setup?
Well, I haven't read a lot since Sugar just got lynched. That's the last I read. Then I had to go off to rehearsals and things, and I just got back. So I don't know what's happened, who the night kill was, or
it has not been announced. Yet. No, it hasn't been announced. Because you know why it hasn't been announced? Clone is actually in New York with Rent right now. They're out at some bar.
Wow.
Yeah, no kidding. They had a little mini meetup.
The fix is totally in.
Right? I mean, he's hanging out with the lone assassin. Come on.
But if I'd have known that, I'd have never signed up.
Right.
No, I don't. You know, the beauty of it is, I don't think I can predict it because somebody will step up. Kohler's a pretty savvy player. I don't see him making a mistake. Rent's a pretty savvy player. I don't see him making a mistake. Other than the fact that Rent is usually pretty active and has a lot of good insights. And I think you can barely tell it just a little bit that he's laying off the oars a little.
Oh, I think he's been overacting. Too. He's been trying to lay blame on, like, Sugar, Jar, Spam. He's been throwing around accusations, and that was very unlike him normally as a villager.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
He seemed a little different, but I'd be lying if I said that I knew for sure that he was one of them. I just looked at the crowd here. I thought Goop might have been one because he could be laying low.
Yep.
I know Kohler was one, and the best guess that I have based on everything is it might be Rent. The question is, how's it going to break? If we get a multiple kill, it's tough. What is it now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 players left, so it's 9-2. I think we could get multiple deaths tonight, depending upon who dies, and multiple deaths tomorrow. That brings us down to 5-2. Tougher to hide when it's 5-2, and I think some of the players that aren't getting votes right now, like Kohler, like Rent, might get some. You get one of those two assassins, and you've bought yourself some time.
Yeah, you have now, one because there's a lot of people out there that have picked either Rent or Kohler on their list, and so they got to get that person off the list so they don't die automatically. It's really important for the Village to get one of those two guys.
And then what kicks in when there's seven players left? If your person isn't dead, then you die? Isn't there something for the people that pick the kill method? What's the fuse that's burning down for them?
You know, I don't think I can intelligently speak to that because I haven't talked that through exactly with Clone.
Yeah, and I didn't read it that carefully because I wasn't going to choose that method. I thought it'd be safer to keep people alive. Now, if I had to play this game over again, I think I'd think it again, but tough call.
Yeah, so let's see. Let me just read it here. If you drank a potion, which is force the drinker to make a vow of destruction, you may make a blood vow to bring about the death of two of your fellow kinsmen. The gods will only wait so long for their souls. If either of these players are one of the last seven remaining alive, you and those in similar debt will begin to die off. So he makes it a little nebulous with the words begin to die off. I think he gave it almost seems like he gave himself some wiggle room depending on how the game's going. I shouldn't say
that's
that.
I would have written it.
Yeah. So because I don't want people to get mad at him after the game. But that's how it's written though.
So. But we could be looking at seven players left.
It's
if there's a double
tomorrow?
Kill, yeah. If there's a double kill tonight, and the Lynch is the wrong guy, and there's a double kill there, so then killers could start dying as well.
Yeah, that's an interesting choice people will have to make tomorrow. Is if their village, and they know that one of the two people they vowed to kill is village, they're going to have to actively try to get them lynched. Otherwise, they're dead.
How many killers are left?
That
do you have that in front of you?
Don't know. I don't have his spreadsheet. Yeah.
That'd be an interesting thing to know to see how it all plays out.
I got to get Clone on tomorrow and talk me through exactly that whole thing. That would be interesting to find out. All right.
Well, that's a fun game.
Yeah. So we... see, we've already hit 17 minutes, so we're going to have to wrap this thing. So any last words for the game, for Clone, or for the remaining people alive, even though they won't hear it until everybody's dead?
Well, I commend the inventor of the game. It's a brilliant setup. I like the way it's been portrayed. I like the podcast part of it. I hats off to Spam and Jar on being just brilliant and putting that together. I was slow enough that as soon as they said this is like a logic game, we set up the table, bing, the light went on, but I wasn't even looking that way when we started. That's how badly I was spinning my wheels with this thing.
Yeah, it was a tough one. But thankfully,
brilliant.
You know, through the collective intelligence, you guys figured it out and got an assassin on that first day. Or second day.
Yeah. Yeah, and the game could have been over even sooner if that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah,
but,
definitely.
You know, I think if they can get lucky, if they can get one more tomorrow, then it's anybody's ball game. But if they don't, it's going to start getting bloody in a spectacular way.
Yeah.
And that's the way we like our Wolf games.
That's right. The bloodier, the better.
So if I can go out in a blaze of glory, I'm happy.
Amen.
And
bro.
I did. All right.
So, Joke, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the podcast. I can't wait to string all these together so that we can listen to it at the very end. And it's all up in the air. Who knows how this thing's going to end?
My pleasure. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of day three. What's going to happen at the night three? Who knows? One person could die. Three people could die. It's going to get sticky here in a hurry. So God bless you. See you tomorrow on day four when I talk to possibly whoever dies or clone. We'll be back. We're out.
Attention, everyone.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is the end of day four, and unfortunately, that night four brought the end of the game. So, I have two very special guests for the final Fall of the Roundtable podcast. First up is the guy that orchestrated the only chance the Village had in this whole game, and that is Jar. Jar, welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
All right, man of many words. And then also the other guy joining the podcast is where it all started, the creator of this game, Clone, is back. Clone, what's up?
How's it going?
All right. You guys don't seem too excited about the game being over. Jar, how are you feeling right now?
I'm quite excited that the game's over.
He's been wanting to die for days.
Did I just broke the news to you that the game's over, right? You didn't know that before I told you.
Well, I read the thread, so I know that the last minute is please hold. But I believe the game's over, yes. I'm hoping the game is over.
The game is over. You were the only one that gave that village a chance. So now I'm gonna put you on the spot here right off the bat. Who were the remaining assassins? Give me their names.
Oh, I'm probably way wrong, but I guess I'm gonna go with Jelly and Collar.
Jelly and Collar. So you thought that there was only three assassins total?
That's my best guess. If there was four, I maybe Hank, but probably not. I'm going to guess three. I guess it doesn't really matter to me how many there are.
Yep.
When we get them all, then the game's over. If we don't, then if there's more than I thought.
All right. Well, Russ, you want to give them the news?
There were three. And you got one of them right. Kohler's one of them. And Rent is the other.
Cool. Two of the guys I was protecting for. If that's what
you're
doing.
Yeah. It was... let me ask you this, because I was pretty critical in the previous podcast about Rent's acting job. I thought that it was very un-Rent-like. Usually he's much more strategic, and as an assassin, all he was doing was trying to create confusion and blame people. Did you pick up on any of that? You read the thread probably more closely than anybody else.
Yeah, quite a few times over. No, I didn't pick up on that at all. I was not concerned with Brent.
Yeah, maybe I was off on that. So
I think that those guys got so much trust from the day two thing that it really screwed with people's minds.
Yeah, I was kind of worried about that. That and a bunch of, like, any kind of association that you had with somebody you thought they were clean. Like, I thought Modin was clean because he had a 50% chance of saying the same thing I did. And, well, he had a 50% chance of being wrong, too. He could have been an assassin, and I would have thought he was clean for the whole game as well.
So, from the very beginning, the thing that Clone and I were talking about is the only, even with the numbers advantage of 14-3, really, the only chance that the village had going into it was to walk this thing down as a logic problem. And I was really impressed that right off the bat, you and then Spam realized that it was a logic problem. How did you pick up on that so quick?
Sorry, I slight interrupted there. I think the game, no matter how much, unless you are in it, the game, absolutely, you need to gather facts. Otherwise, you lose. So that's why I was even pushing for afterwards revealing 2 out of 3 protections, or at least one of them, because that's the only way we're going to know anything.
Yep.
I'm kind of disappointed that the thing that Spam caught with Joke and his chartreuse was not true.
Yeah, I had Joke on yesterday. He said there was nothing to that.
That's an absolute shame. I posted my code after that with a little lowercase y in yellow, and because I had Spam and Rent protected.
That's right. He did a real code.
Yeah, I hate.
What did that mean, though? What did a lowercase y mean?
Well, supposedly the chartreuse thing with Joke was that he coded that he was protecting all 3 people in that out of that decanter. So I was protecting both 2 people in the yellow. So that's why I lowercase.
Oh.
I still hate codes. I can't believe that.
That makes sense. Well, that's interesting. So let me ask you this, because you guys were right on the right track with the logic problem, and then yep. I understand the worry about the sorcerer guessing or not having to guess by doing another reveal, but you almost had to do the reveal knowing that there could be a domino effect coming up. How come nobody pushed for that today?
I don't know. I guess I kind of gave up hope today. It felt like that I pushed for Sugar the last day, and I didn't want to push for another guy that wasn't an assassin. But
you were the only one leading the charge, though, man. You had to keep the leadership going, didn't you? Because nobody talked today. There was a total of like 40 posts all day.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a leader.
You were on day 2.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. One day leader.
I thought the stuff you guys came up with. The stuff you guys came up with day 2, I thought was fucking great.
It was genius. It was better than we thought it could be.
Okay, I'm a bad interview.
No, you're killing.
Would you be better if we tell you suck?
Yeah, I do well with sucking.
Let's talk about Walter Isham for a second. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
As William Isham and
William. Sorry
about that guy.
Yeah.
I like having people that I hate in the game. He's cool.
So Clone, give me your impression of how the last day went. Were you disappointed on the domino? Did it go exactly how you planned? What's your thoughts?
It happened one day too early. I mean, I was disappointed. I mean, I think that I had defeated everybody by now with the setup, because there was no energy. I mean, I there's some good and bad in the way it turned out, but I definitely hoped that they could have kept going, but I think it was a combination of the setup really requiring a lot of work for them, but Rent and Kohler were also just toying with them.
Yeah,
they were jumping in at just the right times to keep anything from happening.
Hey guys,
yeah,
I got to interrupt here. I know I promised 15 minutes, but it's kind of a madhouse here.
Yeah, man, if you got to get off,
more questions, then I'm gonna have to duck out.
All right, so
questions, just one more question.
I'll let Clone ask you the last question.
Are you gonna assassinate me if you see me?
Oh hell no! I love these mental exercises; they're fun.
Yeah,
I don't mind losing. Obviously, you can ask Pimp. It was fun. I enjoy the game. That's why I play everyone.
Well, you were
thanks for it. It was a blast. Thanks for doing podcasts.
You were the MVP, Jar. And just one last question quick on your way out the door. Do you promise me sometime in the next week we can do a full podcast together?
I would love to. Can't promise it. I mean, just here. But I would absolutely love to, and I'm going to try.
All right, man.
Damn, just to get on there.
Because I'm looking at a list for you right now. I got 21 things to talk to you about. Not kidding.
Is that how many home runs that Isham guy hit for me?
Over 4 years?
All right, yeah, let's do it, man.
Yeah, all right, sounds good. All right. Hey, thanks for being on.
All right. Bye. Thanks, man.
All right, Clone, we're going to keep this going, all right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. I didn't know if when he hung up it would kick you both off, but it sounds like you're still there.
I'm still here.
Man, the audio quality improved greatly once he hung up.
Jesus Christ. He's got like 8 kids, 5 dogs.
The only thing that would have been better is if his wife was just bitching at him in the background.
Oh, my God.
Quit playing all your games. Give me a foot massage. Oh, man. There's a
foot massage place right down the road from here.
Like an actual foot massage place? That's what they do? I don't think.
I'm not sure what else they got going on in there.
Go in there and hand them $60 and tell them you've been there before. That's the rule.
Okay. I know you might know.
Yep. So, all right. So that was cool of Jarrah to even come on for that short period of time. But tell me what happened in the domino, because you had texted me and you're like, Jelly's dead, or no, you said Spam's dead, Jarrah's dead, and then you text me a second later, Hank's dead. Oh shit, Jelly's dead. What happened? Tell me what it looked like.
They were all tied together, and it was just, I mean, maybe it was a little bad luck, but it was going to happen eventually, which I had calculated. I did think, and I could be wrong, I did think that they could have paid a little bit more attention to what was going on. Like,
yep,
you know, Hank's time was running out, and he never tried to kill off his second guy. He was actually the only guy left that was a killer. And that's why this thing didn't end. So it was they got rid of Spam, and that's what killed Jarrah, because Jarrah was protecting Rent, Kohler, and Spam.
Cool.
So he had put too much trust in the bad guys right from the beginning.
So, I really have to be kind of critical of how today went down. No one took any leadership. I said on the podcast last night with Joke, and you'll hear it, that they have to do a reveal, even if it seems painful, because they have to understand that if one of them dies, potentially more than one or all of them die. Yeah. So they were running out of time. This thing was going to end on Friday, absolutely no matter what. So that they had to find an assassin.
And Jarrah was doing the math at some point, and I thought they were going to get it from that, you know, they still had some levels of reveals that they could do without and still have pretty good odds that they weren't going to get caught. But, you know, everybody got so scared. And actually, like, for however dumb Wood played, he might have been on to something with, you know, just making a claim yesterday. I mean, at least he did something, even though...
And it actually worked out.
Even though it was brutal for Goot.
But it worked out because Goot, you know, wasn't a huge loss because he didn't take multiple people with him. Now, Wood didn't know that, obviously. He was just looking out for himself, but it worked out for him.
I thought it was kind of brutal to be like, ha-ha, I just gave you Goot.
Yeah, but that was kind of a weird thing to do. So, and, you know, the other thing is they're worried about the sorcerer, but if they revealed, they had to know that there's at least a chance that Trempic was the sorcerer.
Yeah, they never talked about that. I mean, he wasn't, but
they didn't know that.
They didn't know that, but I thought, and people had been dancing around it, that they could have revealed one or two things that they had. I don't know. Everybody was, I mean, it was a big organizational, I mean, it took Jarrah a lot of effort, Jarrah and Spam, and some other guys talked them through it, but it took them a lot of effort to even get people to do anything on day two. So I think he was pretty spent after that and didn't really want to go through the whole.
That was a lot of work. And, you know, I guess I might be talking out my ass a little bit, because if they did the full reveal, you know, the assassins could have picked the person that killed the most people tonight, the whoever the remaining, because they knew there was more than two.
Yeah. Well, they never could have done it. They could have never done a full reveal. They would have had to do just a partial reveal. But then even then, it would have had to been, it would have had to been like day two. They would have had to figure out a very, very delicate way to get information out there.
And they would have had to make sure that Reds and Wood and everybody played nice and did it right. Yeah, man, that's
maybe it wasn't doable. I mean, we started this thing out the first day thinking I had made it really damn hard for the village or for the nights, and then the second day when they were getting that shit together, like, oh shit, maybe they're gonna tear this up right now.
I thought they could have clean sweeped it.
We haven't talked about the risks that those guys had to take. I mean, there was some educated guesses there, but Rent had like a maybe slightly over 50% chance when he made his guess. Kohler, by the end of the day, I think they pretty much had a beat on exactly what he needed, which nobody ever really talked about how the end of the day those guesses were a lot more nailed down. Trimp could have had a better shot if he had gone first. Yep. I mean, it still would have been a hard shot, but going second, it totally became a coin flip, and he was pissed, and then I was pissed at him for being pissed, and then Rent explained to me why he was right to be pissed about being pissed about being pissed. So whatever.
You had a little back channel dialogue about that where he was venting to you.
Well, I didn't. Who? Trimp?
Yeah.
Well, he did it publicly too, but yeah. On their boards, he was pissed.
Why was he right to be pissed, though? I mean, it was that is what the game was.
Well, just because it's no fun to get stuck into this idea thinking I got to flip a coin to survive here. Huh. No, I mean, it was.
Yeah, but didn't create that. The game created that. The players created that. The intent wasn't for them to do a tell a truth, tell a lie, they invented that. That wasn't even part of the game.
Yeah. And it was amazing the stuff that they come up with. I mean,
yeah, man. Every really game, cool. Somebody comes up with something where you're like, oh shit, I couldn't have predicted that.
That's why, I mean, I like trying to make new stuff, but you know, just like now, I mean, when it blows up, it can blow up pretty spectacularly. I never went through what would have happened tonight, and I'm going to post it too. But if, you know, Spam dies, then Jar dies. When Jar dies,
Hank Wood, and Jelly die.
Wood dies. Hank dies because there's less than seven people left. Once Hank dies, Jelly dies. You know, so everything goes down. Maybe Red is the last one left alive.
Let me ask you about that, because while I was podcasting with Joke, I read something and I realized that you had given yourself a little bit of an out. Under the people that drank the potion with the vow of destruction, it reads, if either of these players are one of the last seven remaining alive, you and those in similar debt will begin to die off. You were very specific. You said begin. Was that your out in case that there are seven people left and two or three people were going to die? That was your out to just do them one at a time?
Well, my intention when I wrote that was that I would randomly start picking the people. Mm-hmm. But I also had kind of left it vague to give myself some leeway. But then at some point, in a moment of weakness or whatever, the assassins were asking me what I went there, and they nailed me down to saying that I would randomly choose somebody exactly when that happened. Because I would have loved today to have been able to not kill off Hank, and if we had right away, and if that had happened, it would have been 4-on-2 tomorrow, and it would have been interesting to see what happened.
Yeah,
it would have been Hank, Kohler, Rent, Reds, and Moden left.
So, one of the interesting things about this game, I have never once played a Wolf game where so many people, and all entirely village, didn't vote. What the fuck were they doing? Ken missed, I think, all the votes. He missed every goddamn one. Hank missed a vote. Jelly missed a vote. Wood missed a vote. And then the funny thing is, then, like, people that missed the vote bitched at Wood asking him why he missed the vote. I was like, what's going on here?
You got to tell me this.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, when I got rid of the roles and part of my not wanting to do the Sears because I felt like we were all relying too much on roles to save everybody. And it seemed like back in the day there was a lot more trying to figure out who's lying, you know? I mean,
yep.
Not because of roles, but actually having to nail them. And yep.
I like that.
And I like that too. And that was what I was trying for in this game, partly because, again, I mean, I think I made it so hard, but like, they never could really get on the vote trails or the. I shouldn't say that.
Well,
no, it's easier said than done from where I'm sitting. I know that's the case.
No, but they really should have done the vote trails. But if they would have, it would have looked bad for the village.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a guy that missed 3 votes in a row and didn't get voted off.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It was 3, right? Ken missed all 3?
Ken will know better than me. I don't know.
I think he missed all 3. He at least missed 2. But
it was a mess. I mean, people have lives now, which is really irritating when they should be focusing on things that matter, like the Wolf games. But I mean, following the votes would have been tough. I think the only possible thing really would have been revealing more info, or I still think if they had mathematically taken what they got out of day 2.
Yes. They never did
that. Could have gotten some more information out of that.
They never came back and did a timetable on day 2 because that was information that would have still been useful because I think I talked about it on the podcast with PR, but you have to assume that the first person that went for each one of those things, mm-hmm. each one of those decanters, had to be village, right? I mean, that was a pretty safe.
They were the most village, yeah.
Yeah. So if you can cut off, you know, 25% of the people playing the game.
Actually, the way they did it, that's not true because that was the person that had a 2/3 chance to make it.
It was the second person. But just in general, that's a pretty scary thing for a wolf to say, you know what, I'm going to go first. You almost want some kind of information.
Yeah.
To work off of. So none of the wolves went first.
Tramp could have, but he didn't. He at the crucial time, I think he was just busy. I don't know.
Was his plan to go first?
His plan was to go first, but he was waiting for other people to put out more information, including, see? I know he's waiting for Sugar, and he waited too long.
That's exactly what I'm saying you know, if they would have gone back and looked at that, I don't know where they would have gotten. The whole time I'm talking about this, I'm trying not to do it with the bias where it's like, well, I know what's going on, so I shouldn't act like I'm really smart about it. But
that's the thing. And I talked to Rent. So, I mean, just putting it out here, I had dinner with Rent last night.
and that's why the Assassins
that's
won.
That's why they won. Yep. That's why they won. No, but
because he picked up the check.
But I did. He was talking about. I can't remember what we were talking about. But I was saying I didn't think he was acting so great the first couple of days. But he was doing better now, and I think he disagreed. And
did he disagree? He thought he was doing a great job of acting, just calling out Sugar, then calling out Jelly, and then assuming saying something when they were voting on Tremp when Lemke called him out, and he said, "Well, how can we trust Spam and Jar?" Like, come on, Rent. Come on.
I didn't think it sounded like Rent, but but then again, sitting in the, you know, director's chair or whatever, he would say stuff and I'd be like, "Oh shit, that's going to be it." And then nobody would ever react. So obviously it was not. I mean, it was the perspective of knowing that he was dirty that was impacting.
Yep.
What was going on. So anyway, with all the games that I've made, there's I think half of the elements are cool and half of them blow up, and I wish somebody else could, smarter than me, could piece them all together and make one really good game.
Dude, I'm not sucking your dick here, but like all of your games end up being awesome. You're the best at it. The only person I think that even comes close is Joke, but for a different reason. Joke does such a great job of the game because he puts in all this detail that helps you immerse yourself into your character. Mm-hmm. Like the Wild West game is the one that I think is maybe one of the funnest games.
I read up on that one when I was setting this one up because
that game was great.
I knew people talked about it, and that was partly where I got the idea of the decanters, just not specifically the that detail, but just thinking like, is this too fruity? And then I was looking at what Joe had done. I was like, he did all kinds of crazy shit.
If
he did that, I could do some colored decanters.
But then you look at, and so the reason I brought up that game is to put it in perspective for you a little bit, because people remember that game really fondly because of how much work he put into it. But if you looked at that game, there is a weird thing with this horse thing and the bank blowing up and Pimp having a weird wind condition. And that kind of blew up in his face, but people don't remember that part. They remember everything leading up to it that was so fun.
I mean, him being creative with the stuff gives me the feeling that I can be creative with the stuff, so that's cool. But
you guys should team up and make one together.
Man, I like talking to Spam about this stuff, which was what was so scary. And we haven't talked since then. You know, Spam could have blown up that day too if I had let him, because he works fucking hard to put holes in these things, and he had it with encryption. He could have had. It would have been the effect of everybody simultaneously doing it, which would have given all the assassins, a 1/3 chance of surviving.
Oh, using that third party tool.
Yeah, and that was, I mean,
I forgot about that.
Had that. It would just, I just thought that would have. I mean, that was really against the logic problem idea in my mind, and he was cool about me putting the hammer down on that. But
that was a good idea.
He's really good at thinking this stuff through. And I mean, some of these, Rent was on the other side. Rent and Jelly are really good at coming up with strategies together. I mean,
the village was really hindered by Jelly not participating.
Yeah.
I mean, he barely participated, but when it comes to like logic problems and things like that, I mean, That guy would eat that kind of stuff up, and he wasn't helpful at all.
That's why I thought it became obvious that Rent was dirty at some point, because this stuff was totally in Rent's wheelhouse. He would have been making charts and doing shit if he was really trying to solve it, instead of, like you said, like, come on, guys. And what was his comment? He had that awesome comment this morning.
Oh, yeah. I got to bring it up quick because it was making me laugh so hard. Let's see here.
I have to question the skills of the assassins?
Yeah. He said, shit, hang on. He said, based on who they chose, I think we need to reevaluate the skills of the assassins we're up against.
That was awesome.
That was a good one. That is good acting. I'll give him that one. That was a good one.
Yep. Anyway.
So we're hitting about a half hour, so I should wrap this thing so we're under a we're probably under a 2-hour podcast total. But really good stuff, man. I got you, Reds, PR, Joke, Jar. And it was a really fun game overall. The one thing that you'll hear throughout the podcast is how much everybody liked the setup. And very good job on that. I'm sorry I can't work on it as much in advance as you probably wanted me to, but I think you did a great job and set it up awesome.
You know, I forgot until right now that Wood gets some validation because Daniel Patton never got killed.
That's true. The game's still active, technically, because Patton's still alive.
Yeah.
Patton. It's probably Patton, isn't it? It's not Patton.
I have no idea what it is.
I don't know either. All I know is he never got killed.
Yeah.
Wood protected him to the very end.
Yeah.
Let's just declare him the winner.
DP?
Yep, DP won the game.
All right.
Congrats. All right, man. Well, thank you very much. You have any last words for all the players that participate in the game?
Thanks for playing, everybody. Everybody pretty much had a good attitude about it. I'm sorry it ended this abruptly, but
that was kind of the point, though, with 17 players. Freedom.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would have lasted 2 weeks. So I think this was good. Everybody can go enjoy their weekend.
There you go.
All right, man. So that is the final word of the Knights of the Round Table podcast. I am your host, Zubaz, and I'd just like to thank Clone for making the game and being on the podcast. I'd like to thank my guests, PR, Reds, Joke, Jar, and I'd like to thank everybody that played the game. You guys played it like a bunch of monsters, except for the people that played it like a bunch of bitches. You know who you are. And that is it for this Threads of Time podcast. You heard it here. Jar is going to be on this podcast in the next 7 days, so be ready for that. And we are out, bitches.
Attention, everyone.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.